Amen. Good morning. Everybody, good morning. So we're going to be in the book of Romans, if you have your Bibles. All right, so let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. And Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. 5 and 6. And it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit," basically what they set their minds on. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Everybody said amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for the folks that are here to... Well, we know we got a lot of people that are still staying home, and got a lot of folks traveling and going to see family, and so we just pray for their safety. And Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that we live in America. Lord, we just stop for a minute now and ask you for help. Help for our country. Lord, that we've talked about many times that our need to repent of our sins. Father, we just pray and lift up our political leaders, our government leaders, I should say. Lord, this election coming up, Father, we pray and trust in your will be done. We pray for our missionaries all around the country, that you'll help them and guide them. Lift up our military as they go about around the world, keeping us free. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. So let's look at these scriptures, chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. But before we do that, let's jump back a little bit. If you still have your Bibles open, let's jump back a little bit to chapter 8, verse 1. Because verse 5 starts out with 4. And sometimes you'll see therefore. So basically what that means is, Paul, in this case it's Paul, Paul saying, "Now that I've told you all this, now that we went over all this, therefore," so really right here it just starts out, verse 5 says "for," or "because of." So what we want to do now is just, in good doing good Bible study, we want to jump back a little bit and see what Paul was talking about. So in verse 1, I'll read it to you, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free." We just sung about that. "Free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do," we'll talk about that in just a minute, "for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit." All right, so that's a lot. That's a whole handful. People write books about chapter 8, you know, in Romans. So I'm going to try to give a little highlight here. So when it says, "Therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus," that word condemnation means like there's been a verdict. In other words, someone has been convicted and proven guilty. Now, how many here has been proven guilty and of sinning? We all have. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that's the big reason, the only reason, this is everything as far as Christ coming to earth, born of a virgin, right? I didn't recognize you got a new haircut. That's awesome. Sorry, squirrel. There I went. Sorry. But yeah, that for Christ dying on the cross, paying the price for our sin, for my sin, so that I'm no longer guilty. There's therefore no more condemnation on me and you if you're a born again child of God and you believe in death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So there's no more condemnation for you. You're no longer guilty. When you stand before God, when you get to heaven, He's going to ask you, you know, probably more than likely, I don't know, a little EE here. Everybody remember evangelism explosion back in the day? You know, why God says, why shall I let you in my heaven? The only thing we can say is, really basically had nothing to do with me and what I did or didn't do. It had everything to do with what Christ did on the cross. So therefore, I'm not guilty. There is no more condemnation for me. There's no, I'm not under condemnation anymore. I have been set free. Guys, that's good news, isn't it? That is good news. That's why Paul was such a man of passion. Because he knew that he had good news to share with the people. So therefore, there's no more condemnation for those. Now, right here it talks about in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of the life of Christ is made free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do because it was weak in the flesh. See, the law told us, this is what we do, this is what we don't do. The law backs you up in the corner and says you're guilty. That's why Christ comes to set us free from the law, from the sin and death. The law says you need to do this or else you will die. It's kind of like if I ask Adam to go out here, or any man or woman, and throw a 100-pound bag of deer corn on your shoulder and take it all the way to Sam's in Valdosta, are you going to be able to do that? Would anybody do that? I just don't think so. I don't think you can do that. I don't think there's any human being that could actually do that. I could be wrong, but we could make it a 200-pound bag, right? And then we're shutting everybody down, including Frankie. But what if your life depended on this? What if your eternal destiny depended on you throwing that 100-pound bag of feed on your shoulder and taking it to Sam's? You could try. You could try your best. You could give it all. You could give it all. But you're just not going to be able to do it. Our flesh, our human flesh, our body, literally, is just too weak. You're going to need a Savior. This scripture here points out so clearly our desperate need of a Savior. Because our flesh is weak. It does not have the ability to do everything right and fulfill that law. And right? We want to. We would like to. We try to. But we will fall short every time. Thus, the need, the desperate need of a Savior, of Christ. Amen? It goes on to say, He condemns sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law. What was the righteous requirement of the law? If you study this, most all the theologians that I listen to and read and that kind of thing, trying to prepare for everything, tell us that this righteous requirement is love. It's love. You could love your children so much, but you're not going to be able to swim underwater for 15 minutes to go rescue them. Right? You can be the biggest, baddest person, Olympian, swimmer, and you're not going to be able to go underwater in that cave and swim underwater for 15 minutes and hold your breath so you could, no matter how much you love. God so loved us. Jesus could do that. Jesus did that. Jesus lived the sinless life. Excuse my goofy metaphors about the sack of feed in the water, but it makes a point, right? Jesus lived that sinless life. God loved us so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross. Jesus took the suffering of the cross. He died. He laid in that grave. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he rose on the third day. He is willing to do that. He was willing to do that, and he did that for us and fulfill that righteous requirement. So that now, through his blood, through what he did on Calvary, we become righteous. In other words, we are right standing with God. And one day when we go to heaven, then that will be fulfilled and complete. And when we stand before God, and he says, "Why should I let you in my heaven?" The answer is not because of the righteous, cool things I did. You know, oh, I gave 20%. You know, I served here and I served there and I taught this and I did this and I did that. All that's great. All that ministry work's great. All that stuff is great. But there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way. See, the acceptance of Christ is death, burial, and resurrection. Become children of God, adopted in the family of God, clothed in that righteousness of Christ, not us. Amen? Now, verse 5. Jesus, I haven't even got to the verse yet. Sorry. All right, so verse 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds." According, if you look up that word according to the flesh, that word according means to, it means to go after, to seek. Like if we got into one accord and wanted to go out there and play on the playground. Say the kids. They got in one accord, they went in one direction, and they went out there and they played on the playground. That's basically what that means, that one accord, that they live according to the flesh. So if we're living according to the flesh, in other words, that's our direction. That's where we're going. That's what we're doing, is fulfilling those really lustful desires of the flesh. And it says, according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. Now set their minds on. That, if you look that up in the Greek, it means a mindset. In other words, a certain mindset. I have this certain mindset about this. You know, in other words, I've locked in. This is what I want to do. This is what I like to do. This is what I get enjoyment from. This is what I prefer to do. That's a mindset. They get a mindset locked in on the flesh, and you're going to reap death. It's not me. I'm not trying to be negative here or pessimistic, right? But if you focus and get your mindset on the flesh and fulfilling desires of the flesh, the Bible clearly says here that that's going to lead to death. And if you look up that word death, it means to wither, to decay, to rot, and to eventually be no more. I mean, listen to that. That's the biblical definition of death here. In this scripture, and pretty much the whole New Testament, really. Death means to wither, to decay, to rot, and then eventually just become no more. I had a friend. We lived in Jacksonville, Florida, when Lynn got out of the Navy. We just got saved, started going to church, got baptized at First Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, which is kind of cool because Jerry Vines baptized Lynn and I. Anybody know him, preacher or so? No? Okay, never mind. I'm trying to impress you, but that didn't work. This is with Jerry Bynes' study Bible. Dang. Okay. So I had this little buddy, right? And we made friends. He went to church too, went to the same Sunday school class. And one day, I'll make a story real short. Went to his house. We was eating dinner with him, whatever. I had to go to the bathroom. So I went to the bathroom. That's maybe too much information, but just hang on, right? Just keep coming back. So I went to the bathroom. And there, I'm going to go there. I got to make the point. There's a little basket by the toilet, and there's like a hunting, a fishing magazine, and that's cool. And then there's a Playboy. I'm going to say it. Okay, we're all going. I'm like, what? This is like early 80s or something, right? So, man, a couple days later, we get together, we play golf or something. I was like, dude, what is the deal with the Playboy in your bathroom? He downplayed it. I just read the articles. Whatever. That's ridiculous, you know? And so, I was like, dude, you need to stop that. That's not good. He just started rationalizing about this and that. And for women, that's devastating. It's devastating at the core because they begin to start feeling and thinking they're not good enough or, all that stuff. As a counselor, I see that so many times. So I was like, dude, quit it, He tried to minimize and justify. But eventually, that lustful desires of that flesh, he did not repent. So eventually, what happened? Death. Wither. So his marriage began to kind of wither. What was it? Death is what? Wither. Rot. Begins to decay. It began to decay. The marriage began to rot. When something starts rotting, what happens? It starts what? Stinking. Nobody wants to be around it. And eventually, death. And they eventually got a divorce. But in my spirit, I know it started right there. I think I know. Anyway, I have a good idea that it started right there with that lustful desires of the flesh of him not willing to repent, first of all, which means stop doing what you're doing, turn around, go the other direction, and don't do it again. Amen? So, this mindset. See, this is what Paul's talking about right here. This mindset. What are we allowing our mind to focus on? The Bible says that the eye is the candle of our soul. And y'all know me. I talk about it you probably can write a book on it. But the soul is the mind, will, and emotions, right? So our mind, our will, our emotions, that's the eye is the candle of the soul. So what are you allowing to come into your eyes? What are you allowing to come into your ears? What are you allowing to come in? Are those things fulfilling the lustful desires of the flesh? Maybe we need to seriously repent of that. And this really is, the desire, the lust of the flesh is like desire of man. Matthew chapter, should have wrote it down. Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. Thank you, Jesus. 16, verse 23, Jesus talking about going to the cross. And Peter, he's all, I'm a tough guy. And Peter's like, no, he don't want to go to the cross. And what did Jesus say to him? Hey, in other words, shut up, Satan, get behind me. You're trying to offend me. You're offending me. You're trying to distract me from going to the cross. But pretty much rebuked Peter and said, Satan, get behind me. And then he went on. Let's look it up real quick. He went on to tell him about mindset. I'm going to turn real quick. I even have a mark. Yay, look at that. 16:23. It says, but he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. And this is the same scripture, the same Greek words that Paul's using right here. That's mindset. It's the things of man versus the things of God. Is everybody with me? So in our mindset and what we're allowing to think about and see and ponder on and those kind of things, are they things of man or are they things of God? Things of man meaning things of the flesh, right? Then he goes on, verse 5, it says, things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, they basically look at the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. It carnally means, that means flesh. fleshly minded, carnally minded, you know, lustful desires of flesh. And we know the Bible says about that, right? Lust gives forth a sin, and sin gives forth a death. So to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Everybody say life and peace. One more time. Life and peace. Everybody raise your right hand. Okay, thanks. Life and peace. Okay, so, sorry, I'm trying to wake you up out there now, right? Life and peace. So if we're in our mindset, if we're focused on the spiritual things, okay, we're not focusing on the carnal, the fleshly, the things of men, okay, we're focusing on the things of the spirit, it's really like what Frankie prayed this morning in his prayer. It's about what brings glory to God. When, you know, what are spiritual things? Ah, man, that, you know, it'd take 5 hours to explain all that, and I couldn't even do it justice. What are the spiritual things? But really, keeping it very simple, it's the things that bring glory to God. I hear you think about that. Most of you guys are mature Christians. You're saved, born again, you know, study the Bible. Really think about what brings glory to God. Really? Does our church bring glory to God? I believe it does. You know? Is our Sunday school, the youth, is it bringing glory to God? I really believe it does. Does your marriage bring glory to God? Does your finances bring glory to God? Does your work, what you do for your make a living, does it bring glory to God? At your work, you know, your neighbors, your interaction with your neighbors, does it bring glory to God? Amen. These are the things that we need to keep right on the front of our mind. Like Paul's telling us, that mindset. Is this behavior? Is this thought? Is what I'm watching or looking at or reading or hanging around bringing glory to my flesh or to others' flesh? Or is it just all about the man, you know? Or is it bringing glory to God? Amen. I just pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart. Even studying this and reading and studying and doing all the things that I do to prepare for a message, the Lord really got a hold of my heart about some things, you know. And amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your scriptures. It helps us. It helps us lead better lives. Obviously, it gives us eternal life. It helps us be the men and women you've called us to be. It helps us in our marriage. It helps us be a better parent and grandparent. It helps us be a better business person, better neighbor, better witness for you. Thank you for your word. Father, I just pray right now, Lord, if there's one out there that has never accepted Christ as our personal Savior, that during this song of invitation, they would come down and give their life to Christ. Maybe there's someone here that'd like to join our church or maybe get baptized. I'd love to talk with them about that. Father, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.